we have seen folks who are charged with what most would consider a violent crime, let out with no pretrial detention, and then reoffend.
We are very fortunate at this real challenging time in the city and the department's history that Chief Morrison has agreed to serve in this interim role.
We need the administration, and we need MassDOT acting with urgency on this project.
Hey, it's WAMC's Associate News Director Jim Lavula sitting in for Ian Pickus. On this episode, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo delivers his 2020 State of the State address, an east-west rail study is delayed in Massachusetts, and Burlington, Vermont has a new interim police chief amid turnover in the post. But first, some New York State lawmakers in the Hudson Valley are calling for changes to criminal justice reforms that took effect January 1st. There is bipartisan support to pass legislation that would allow judges to consider how dangerous a defendant is when determining pretrial detention. WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn has more.
The calls come following the implementation of bail reforms that eliminated cash bail for most nonviolent offenses. Democratic State Senator James Skoufis.
If you could not afford to post bail, you got to wait for your trial in a jail cell somewhere. So there was this income threshold where if you were poor, you were treated one way. If you were rich, you were treated another way. And that needs to be, and that needed to be addressed. However, it's also our obligation to make sure that we prioritize public safety. And just a week into the new bail reforms, a week into the new year, we have seen folks who are charged with what most would consider a violent crime let out with no pretrial detention and then reoffend, recommit either the same or a very similar type of crime.
And so Skoufis of the 39th District is calling for a dangerousness standard.
And this is something I pushed for when we were negotiating the original bail reforms back in the spring. We need to have judges authorized to employ some discretion whereby if they find someone is dangerous to themselves or others, that they can put that defendant in pretrial detention for the public safety. And right now they can't do that. That is a critical amendment that needs to be advanced as soon as possible, quite frankly, immediately.
Republican State Senator Sue Serino had introduced such legislation in the fall with the support of domestic violence victim advocates and members of the law enforcement community. Serino continues to urge Albany's legislative leaders to make her bill a top priority in 2020. Serino of the 41st District says the new bail reform policies were pushed through too quickly.
I have to be really clear on this, though. No one should be held in jail because they can't pay. And we all understand that. Everybody's on the same page about it. But this bill went too far.
Serino says Democrat Amy Paulin will sponsor the bill in the Assembly.
You know, I had the domestic violence advocates come to me, too, because they were really, nervous about this, so they helped us with it. It's hard enough for a victim, a survivor, to come forward, right? And then you're going to say, okay, now your abuser is just going to get a piece of paper. Like, that's really putting her or him in a very dangerous situation. So I really do believe that we should have judicial discretion because they do, you know, a lot of times they even know the history of the person, which is really important as well.
Skoufis says he will examine Serino's bill and any other similar ones.
And so I want to take a very specific look at those bills and make sure that we're providing the discretion that is fully needed to judges to make sure that we keep dangerous offenders off the streets. But in essence, that is what I'm supporting, yes.
Republican State Assemblyman Colin Schmidt says the new reforms allowed an undocumented immigrant, an unlicensed driver charged in a fatal hit-and-run accident in his 99th district to be released without bail. Subsequently, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers detained the man, who was charged in the accident that killed a mother of three Christmas Eve as she was crossing a road in Stony Point, Rockland County. Schmidt says this illustrates the need to immediately repeal criminal justice changes. Meantime, Skoufis has introduced a bill to expand electronic monitoring.
One of the concerns I have is that if there is no electronic monitoring and someone is at risk to flee, we have no way of tracking them down. And so what my bill does is it expands ankle bracelets, similar types of electronic monitoring, such that we can ensure a defendant is compelled to reappear in court and answer for the charges against them.
Skoufis says this legislation will be carried by Queens Democrat Brian Barnwell in the Assembly. Then there's the question of how to pay for some of the reforms.
The state needs to step up and provide funding, not just for the electronic monitoring that we're talking about, but for many of the additional costs for personnel, for other equipment that's necessary to fully implement these reforms. And quite frankly, it was a dereliction of the state's duty to move forward with these reforms without any funding attached.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has expressed a willingness to make changes to the bail reforms, while State Attorney General Tish James, a fellow Democrat, has encouraged lawmakers to revisit judges' discretion for dangerousness. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.
And staying in New York, there was a somber tone to Governor Andrew Cuomo's State of the State message Wednesday as New York faces a $6 billion budget deficit and is reeling from a recent string of hate crimes, including a stabbing attack at a rabbi's house in Rockland County. Capitol correspondent Karen DeWitt has more.
It is going to be a challenging year.
Cuomo says 2020 has also already been a frightening one, with more storms in Puerto Rico, deep and bitter political divides, and the attack on Orthodox Jews celebrating Hanukkah that injured five, one severely. Rabbi Chaim Rottenberg, whose own son was hurt in the attack, was a special guest at the speech and delivered the blessing.
I will never forget the horror of that night. But I will also never forget how we continue to celebrate after the attack, how we continue to rejoice in the miracle of Hanukkah.
Cuomo drew cheers from the audience of lawmakers, lobbyists, and state judges when he outlined his proposal to create a new crime of domestic terrorism. He says it would give law enforcement more tools to fight crimes motivated by hate.
And send the strongest message across this state and nation. New York will not stand by when our people are being victimized and killed by hate.
In a year with a multi-billion-dollar budget gap, the governor focused on items that will help pay for themselves, including a $3 billion Environmental Bond Act. It would repair areas damaged by recent floods, including along the St. Lawrence River and Lake Ontario, and protect public lands against climate damage in the future. Cuomo also laid out a plan to legalize the adult recreational use of marijuana in New York.
Let's legalize adult use of marijuana.
He'd create an Office of Cannabis Management to establish stringent safety and quality controls and also better regulate other hemp and CBD products. Cuomo says legalizing marijuana could bring in $300 million in new tax revenues. And he says part of that money should go to communities disproportionately affected by the decades-long criminalization of the drug. Despite the deficit, the governor is proposing cutting taxes for small businesses and the middle class, although he did not provide details of how to pay for them. He did acknowledge that spending on Medicaid, which accounts for the bulk of the gap, has grown too large lately, and he says the system needs some restructuring. And he hinted that local governments, who have seen their share of Medicaid costs capped by the state in recent years, might have to pay more going forward.
We're paying $177 million on behalf of Erie, $175 million on behalf of Westchester, $2 billion on behalf of the city of New York to cover their local costs.
Andrew Rhine with the watchdog group Citizens Budget Commission says it would not be wise for the governor to undo what has been considered a successful program.
The devil will be in the details when the budget comes out, but that's what we will be looking for, because that would be a reversal of a great element of progress that he's made.
The speech received positive reviews from Democrats who are in the majority in the legislature. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says it was a good, democratic, progressive message.
Particularly touching on issues that I think are important to our democratic hearts, speaking about poverty, health care, again, opioid education, all of the things, college affordability, all of the things that matter to us. So I think it's a good starting point.
Senator Patrick Gallivan, a Republican from the Buffalo area, says he would have liked to hear more about the governor's plans to amend a controversial bail reform law. It's ended cash bail for most crimes, but has led to some repeat offenders, including a serial bank robber, to be released on their own recognizance.
That's the number one thing I'm hearing about right now from my constituents, and I think it's somewhat similar across the state. When I look at the media accounts across the state of these different stories of criminals being released and reoffending again, there's no question people across the state are concerned, and we need to deal with it.
Cuomo said earlier in the week he was open to changes. But supporters in the legislature say the law is only a few days old and needs to be given a chance to work. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
A much-anticipated feasibility study on east-west passenger rail service in Massachusetts has been delayed, WAMC's Pioneer Valley Bureau Chief Paul Tuthill reports.
The Massachusetts Department of Transportation had been expected to present a report this winter on the costs and benefits of plans to link Greater Boston and Western Massachusetts by rail. But now the target for the final report has slipped to the spring.
We need the administration and we need MassDOT acting with urgency on this project.
State Senator Eric Lesser said the delay is disappointing to him and other advocates of east-west passenger rail expansion.
We do understand and appreciate that it's a complicated project. We want the results to be good and we want them to be useful. So certainly we want the job to be thorough, but we are watching very closely and paying a lot of attention to this, and we need to make sure that MassDOT stays to the timeline and that MassDOT and the administration understand the urgency of this project.
Lesser, a Democrat from Longmeadow, has long championed an expanded passenger rail network as a benefit to the entire state.
Nobody can afford to live or move around in Boston. In Western Mass, we have in many cases the inverse challenge. Many of our young people are leaving. We're not creating jobs fast enough. People don't feel connected to the red-hot economy just to our east. The rail project would solve both challenges. It would lift both ends of our state.
MassDOT commenced the feasibility study of east-west passenger rail in 2018. Last July, the department presented a preliminary report with six options. One called for constructing a new high-speed rail line with a Springfield-Boston travel time of 80 minutes. The final report is expected to have two or three recommendations, including cost estimates.
We have our eyes wide open about what's involved, how challenging it will be, and potentially how long it might take, but it has to start. That is the point. The study lets it get started.
Another east-west rail feasibility study is set to begin this year. This one is to look at reviving a long dormant passenger rail line that once connected North Adams and Boston. A pilot project to launch rail service between the Berkshires and New York City is in the works. MassDOT also is collecting ridership data on a pilot program that began last summer that offers north-south passenger rail service between Springfield and Greenfield. Lesser said the early feedback from that new line, dubbed the Valley Flyer, has been positive.
The prices do need to come down. Right now, the fares are not subsidized, which is a problem for our riders in the Pioneer Valley. And the service, the scheduling has to hopefully be improved even more. But the signals from that have been pretty positive, and certainly we've gotten a lot of positive feedback from the communities that are served, Greenfield, Northampton, Holyoke. The student populations have been using the service. And again, integrating that with the CT rail going south and hopefully one day the new east-west rail going to Boston is really what's going to be the game changer.
After postponing debate last fall, the Massachusetts House is expected to consider proposals this year for raising additional revenue for transportation. Reporting from WAMC's Pioneer Valley News Bureau on the campus of Western New England University, I'm Paul Tuthill.
The Burlington, Vermont City Council confirmed an interim police chief Monday evening. The move comes after the previous chief resigned after admitting using a fake Twitter account to criticize a police department critic. An acting chief was then removed for using a fake Facebook account. WAMC's North Country Bureau Chief Pat Bradley has more.
On December 16th, Burlington Mayor Merle Weinberger accepted the resignation of Police Chief Brandon Del Pozo. The former chief had used an anonymous Twitter account for an hour to criticize a local activist and department critic, denied using such an account, and then delayed informing the mayor about his actions. The mayor then appointed Jan Wright acting police chief. But within hours, Weinberger replaced her after she admitted using a fake Facebook account and then named John Murad acting chief pending the appointment of an interim chief. On Monday, Mayor Weinberger asked the city council to approve his nomination of Jennifer Morrison to serve as interim chief of the city's police department.
We are very fortunate at this Real challenging time in the city and the department's history that Chief Morrison has agreed to serve in this interim role. And I think it is a great opportunity for the department during this challenging time to have a woman of her experience and stature and background and particular experience in Burlington and Chittenden County. And I hope that Chief Morrison will get the council's strong support to serve in this interim role.
Morrison was a Burlington police officer from 1990 to 2013 and was the city's first female deputy chief. During the council's public comment period, several people spoke in favor of her appointment, including former police commission chair Jerry O'Neill.
I have been a federal prosecutor in the past for 8.5 years here in Vermont. I've seen police officers of all sorts, from the top of the FBI, state police officers, local police officers, you name it. I think I've worked with a great number of them. I can't think of anybody who's better qualified to be the interim police chief in Burlington. She's as good as they get.
Morrison told counselors she had not planned to return to policing after she retired as Colchester police chief.
I was not exactly looking for a job. In fact, I was very, very busy in retirement. But duty called, and I could not turn away from the department and the community that shaped me as both an adult and as a law enforcement leader. So here I am. I see the interim role as different from if you were considering me for your permanent chief's role. I see myself as a bridge to improve communication, rebuild some trust where trust needs to be rebuilt, but mostly preparing the agency to receive a new chief.
Counselors posed a number of questions, including use of force, police discipline, and transparency. Ward 2 Progressive Max Tracy asked about social media usage.
How do you see yourself engaging with accountability as a result of misuse of social media?
The city's going to have a citywide policy. Finishing that policy and getting the training done should be very high on the priority list. I don't foresee the Burlington Police Department changing the way they interact with the community on an official level. They do what I believe is a very good and comprehensive job of spreading a lot of different types of information via social media, and I don't see that changing. But I do see that in conjunction with ushering in a new policy, that we're going to have to be really taking a look at any allegations that personnel within the PD have misused social media.
Morrison was sworn in immediately after the unanimous approval of the City Council. She is expected to serve 4 to 6 months during a national search for a permanent replacement. She will not seek the permanent position. Audio is courtesy of Channel 17 Town Meeting Television. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.
And that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Stay subscribed for the latest from the Northeast. Until next time, I'm Jim Lavoulis.